Go ahead.
On the first section, when he was talking about needing to come from life and be aware of resurrection before death, because, you know, that's demonstrated when we are born again. We are just thrilled with the Lord and his life and with newness of life. And I was thinking about our visits with Shane on the phone, because it says that a terrible amount of paralysis and death is resultant from a continual emphasis upon the subjective death of the Lord Jesus before the life has had a chance. And I know that one time I was thinking about interjecting into the conversation with Shane something about the cross, something about, oh, well, you wait, you know, like that. And the Lord held me back. Because, and I did. So I thought of it when I read that, because it was like, that life has to have a chance. And there's a building up in Shane, a building. And boy, when he gets out, there will be plenty of opportunity for the cross to be working. And I'm not saying that the cross isn't working at all now, but that's just, I just know that the Lord checked me on that. You know, where I want to come and share something from what I know to be true in the Christian life and my own history, but it was not to be said. And I appreciated the Lord doing that. And then when he talks about that the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus becoming an inward reality in the members of the body of Christ is the guarantee, provided it is given a clear way, a free course, and not checked. You know, and I thought, all that Brother Sparks is talking about is progressive. This is all about progressive sanctification, that you give the Lord's life his way, its way, his way, and he will bring you to his end. Because that, see, it was something very specific. Oh, the phrase in the second part about the simply by this working of life. The life is working. And he will bring us to his end. And I loved what he said, that we are learning to listen, to put faith in that life, in its gentlest forms of expression, in that still small voice, and to put faith in that and to obey, and you find you are safe, and the life increases, and the Lord is able to move on to, and do things that were impossible before the life increased. And I think that's the testimony of our history with the Lord, isn't it? So that's very beautiful, that the way he put that.
Yeah, I just have to say that the emphasis was on the check of that life, and that's very important that we have those checks. I think for me, especially in the work that I've been doing with all this SRA stuff, the emphasis on me has not been the check; it's been more the release. That the Lord, the release is, you step out and do this in faith, and it's like, I mean, you know, the Lord is released in such a way that no amount of DID work and protocol can be a substitute for that. It's not set aside. It doesn't mean you shouldn't understand trauma and all the various things that are associated with this environment. But there's a wholly different, it's very much different, that the Lord himself is actually released in spirit-guided warfare. And when that happens, 100% of the time, something on the strategic core level happens. And where, if I haven't seen it happen, I stand back and say, okay, where in that person is there not a will? That's not in cooperation. I used to get mad at God. Why don't I see anything? Now I see, if there's a client there, that means there's somebody in there that's not talking. Whatever it is, there's a part of the person that's not forward. They're in deception, and they've vowed to silence. They're not present. So I said, okay, we'll shut it down until once we identify core. Then when the core decides to repent and come out and take and stop hiding behind whatever you're hiding behind, we can dig in. It's learning how to read things. If there's a silence there, why? You know, I don't need to get mad at the Lord. Where's the power of God and all that kind of thing? It's always present. The power is always present. But it says in James chapter 4, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Okay, well, if he's not fleeing, then who in you is not subject to God, identifying the core right there? Okay, you, I know the core. Where are you not subject to God? I'm going to ask God to show the whole person, everything inside you, so you can see. So you, the one, the core, you need to do something about it. You speak right through. When you're ready to come clean, come out and deal with whatever you dealt with, we can proceed. And if they have a heart for God, it happens. It happens. And if it's not happening and it's a matter of captivity and not knowing, you blast the adversary. I mean, you bring to bear the arm of the Lord on that thing. And then something gets loose. Because there's captivity where you speaking through isn't going to do anything. You can't speak through that which is contained and locked up inside Satan himself. So it's being able to follow the Lord in his release. Check, you know, we're not to quench the Holy Spirit and, you know, with our own flesh-driven actions or grieve the Holy Spirit through transgression and sin. But I think a quenching the Holy Spirit would also be not only what we read today about, you know, restraining, you know, certain things, our tongue you know, something that's coming from the natural man, but halting when we should be acting, like in Joshua chapter 7, I mean, it's a disaster. We had all these Israelites, I forget how many thousands died. Why? Because of presumptuousness. They didn't inquire of the Lord before they went into Ai. Oh, we don't need to send in the whole army. Really? There's a corporate solidarity, corporate identity. We all need to go in. They're all together. It's a corporate thing. You didn't say, God didn't give you direction to have some stay behind and send in a small contingency because before your eyes it looks like this is going to be a cakewalk. And so, what do we see in Joshua 7? Joshua's on the old ground. He's speaking out of the old man in a typical way. You know, why did you send us out here? What are our enemies going to say? It's like, you know, God, you failed us. What about? You know, I mean, it's like the implication is that you know, what's gone wrong on God's side? He says, what are you doing? What are you doing there crying out to me? In other words, why are you praying over this matter? Take action. There's sin in the camp. Israel has sinned. You deal with it. So, he was, in that case, it was a lack of action. So, and like Moses, I mean, he's backed up against the Red Sea, and, you know, and he says, stand still and see the salvation of God, and nothing's happening, and I can see what's going on in his head, you know, and he says, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? We're in trouble now, you know. He doesn't say anything. There's a little white space between, you know, back up the Red Sea, and he stretches out his rod and his staff and says, you know, behold the mighty works of God. The Red Sea splits open. Something happened between the fact that he shut up and there's nothing happening. He doesn't say anything, but then you see right in the text, Moses, what's that in your hand? God asks him a question. What is that in your hand? All the authority of God is in your hand. Do something about it. And so he did. What did he do? He stretched out that rod and his staff, and that sea opened up. So, yeah, I think as we get more in sync with God and come on, you know, we're on resurrection ground, we should expect really big things. Big things that accumulate, little things every day, but they build, they grow into that which is going to be more and more an aggressive manifestation of seeing this age consummated. in the part that we have. Okay, and we do have a part. Okay. By the way, I'll just add this. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, since we've been to South Africa, everything's changed there. All we did is go down there and be the Lord was released, not even in a complete way, just here and there, but it's been growing. It's been growing. See, it's expanding. And so South Africa and Germany, and Germany is big time. So, but anybody have any other thoughts, comments, or questions about what we looked at today? All right. Did you have something?
Nothing I can say.
Wait, okay. Well, I just thought. Yeah.
No, I think it's. I personally think it's like one of the best sparks ever read.
Well, that's good because as we meet on Tuesday and days after, you can repeat that phrase again. No, that's good. I was just going to say the seed, the Lord shall see his seed and prolong his days, in Isaiah 53:10, he shall see his seed. And then, unless that which is begotten of God does not habitually practice sin, because his seed abides in us, 1 John 3:9. And that seed abides in us, and then if that seed is there, then that seed being the Christ life and Christ nature, then it comes into this ground, okay? And what's the ground? Well, we are our soul life. Plopped right down the middle of the Sukhikas man, the old creation. Clunk, right in the middle. Now what's going to happen? There's that life. Where is it? It's locked up in all that I am by nature and Adam. So what happens? Well, circumstantially, as that life comes in, we're aware of that life, and it comes all the way to the outside. We experience that in infantile states, and as the time goes on, and that life just retracts back. Where does that leave you? What you are by nature. And what happens? Then God begins the work of circumcising, cutting off the outward man, that husk going into the earth and dying, earth of the circumstances that has to do with everything that represents this world order, goes in and falls on the ground and dies. And then as progressively, over and over again, that seed that's in that life comes out of death into life. And what is happening? Christ is being formed. And as we become grown together, notice first, in the likeness of his death, that's after we receive resurrection life. As we become grown together in the likeness of his death, so we shall be grown together in the likeness of his resurrection. See, that's the progressive part, the sum futas part, the being grown together. Okay. Any other thoughts, comments, questions? All right, amen.